It's disintegrating because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'd like to be in a good mood. Hey, Jared, I don't know if you know this or not. We can stream live on Facebook. Can you make that start happening right now, buddy? I don't know if you can. I'm out of jail. It didn't work. I'm out of Facebook jail. Finally out of Facebook jail. And I ought to be happy today. I ought to be, but I'm not happy today. It's our birthday. 3 years ago today. I'm going to show you that here in a second. 3 years ago today, this show started. It's our birthday. Now to be happy and excited. My wife, before I came down the steps this morning, Michelle said to me, "Well, you sure seem in a good mood," or something like that. I don't know exactly what it says. I said, No, I'm not. But I want to ruin everybody else's day. Looking forward to going to Iowa Saturday morning through Sunday, Monday. A lot of great stuff going on out there. Denny, before I get going into too deep, got anything you want to say about it, Denny? Anything anybody needs to do last minute wants to come? Anyone at all? Anything to say?
Everything's ready to rock. Everything's ready.
All right, man. We're ready to go. There's going to be a lot of people gone, and I appreciate everybody that's gone and everybody that's, you know, a lot of people making a lot of sacrifices to get up there. Lowell's driving all the way up there. I think Larry's driving all the way from, my goodness, South Carolina. Mark Trump's driving all the way. I mean, we got a lot of people coming a long way. Chad's coming up from Texas. It's amazing. And it's an honor for me. Folks, listen. Is it okay if I have can I talk about some heavy stuff today? It's Flea Flicker Friday. You want me to make light of some stuff I'm going to dive right in. Let me do this real quickly before we get rolling here. This is today the third anniversary of the launch of this show. And I found the original one. And I just want to show you. I want you to show you how far we've come. Before I get into it, we would not be where we are. Listen, I understand my gift. I understand the anointing that's upon me. I understand that I'm the straw that stirs the drink. I understand all that. I understand I'm the coach. But I hope a lesson to all of you, everyone out there right now who's thinking about doing something, and the scripture tells us not to despise the days of small beginnings. And I don't know if am I in big beginnings yet? It's been 3 years. You understand that? 3 years, 5 days a week, an hour a day for 3 years. I've labored hard. I've been faithful. I've been consistent to come here every morning and do this. And there are those of you out there who right now are thinking of launching a ministry. Hey, folks, this doesn't happen overnight. I've been in ministry for 19 years. 19 years. I've had the ups. I've had the downs. I've been made fun of. I've been praised. I've been through the whole thing. And I've reached a point in my life where I care what people think, but not, I don't really care. Are you with me? I care what pastors think, but I don't really care. I really don't care. 66 years old. I started this when I was 63, 60. Is that right? My math right on that? And I want you to understand this, that every journey you go on starts with the first step. And some of you are sitting back and see, some of you want to be me without the labor. And I don't mean me. I mean, some of you want to be in this position to have this influence. And you haven't done the hard work. You haven't done everything that's required, suffered, invested, gone in debt. laid things on the line, tried new things, said the hard things. You think the guys in the NFL, you think they just woke up and they were NFL players? Like they spent any time in the weight room? Tom Brady, what is he, almost 40 years old? How many 40-year-olds, you know, that could go out there and do that? And they get mad at Brady and they hate Brady because he wins all the time. Why does he win all the time? How come he's winning and you're not? How come Brady's winning and I don't pick somebody? How come they're not? Because they're doing the work behind the scenes. So those of you out there who, I think of the hard work and labor that Rob Pugh's put in. Are you kidding me? The uphill climb Rob Pugh's had up there and everything that he's trying to do. Amazing. He stays faithful and he always tries to help other people out. I think of Chad Estes. Chad Estes showed up at, I did it. Yeah, another one of those crazy things. A march for, we went to Washington, D.C., and we marched around the Supreme Court, and Chad Estes and his wife, Michelle, drove all the way from Texas. I wasn't any big name then. I don't even know how long ago that was. I probably had the show, but I mean, I'm not a big name now, right? You understand? I'm not a big name now. But Chad started, and here he is, however many years later, still doing it, still getting up, still monthly having his meetings, trying to get people to go, trying to tell them why it's important to be involved, all that. All that. I'm looking down through my list. There's a lot of names. I could go on and but I want you to see my birth. Okay? I want you to see my birth. Jared, pull that up there. First show ever, January 25th, 2016. I found this in the archive today. We're not going to watch it all. But if you forget where you were, you don't know how you got where you are. And so, Jared, let's have just a real quick overview. January 25th, 2016. Go ahead.
Disintegrating. Hey, pass the salt.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit.
To make it possible to play audios on their Hangout platform yet, but I'm sure they're working on it with their 50,000 super smart engineers out there in Mountain View, so we expect that to be fixed any day, and then we can bump up
get the technology
him,
to work.
Say hello
we
to
couldn't
us.
Get, so we couldn't get the technology to work, so Pete LaBarbera's on with us, but of course, I can't get on there with us, but finally we figure out the technology. Go ahead and bring me, maybe scroll ahead a little bit. You'll see my beautiful studio and everything. There we
talking,
are.
But we can't hear you. Can't hear you. No audio. Wait a second. It might be on. Might be on me. Give us. Be patient with us, folks. We're trying to make things work here. He is muted.
Better than it was.
Hey, there we go. We can hear you now, Coach. Hey,
you hear me?
Oh,
hey, Coach, this is unbelievable. hey, Pete, how you doing, folks? This is a. This is radio, TV, whatever, at its finest. I was up plenty early this morning. This is our first broadcast here, and I was up plenty early getting all my preparation done and all that stuff. I don't know why it's so dark here. Mike, maybe I need to pull something back here a little bit. And I got up and got on my computer. I have a laptop like so many people do, and jumped on my laptop, drank a cup of coffee, prayed a little bit with my wife, and came up here and jumped on my mainline computer, and it wouldn't work. It wouldn't get online. You know, sometimes you got to unplug that thing for 2 minutes and plug it back in. I did that about four times. And then finally, here we are. So is it an inauspicious, is that the right word? Quite a start here for Pass Assault on Google Hangouts. And folks, this is just kind of, we're going to figure out how this whole thing's going to work. I used to be on the radio regularly. Haven't been on the radio for quite a while. You know why that was, Mike and Pete? Hang on there right there. Let me explain some things here to folks. I was too hot for people. Does that make sense, Pete?
Absolutely, Coach.
I was too hot. I was on the radio back in 2002 to about 2012,
okay,
and I just burned.
Okay. We can cut that off. There's where I start. Look at that beautiful studio that I'm in. Mike Heath got me launched with it. Pete LaBarbera, we did a guest the first night. I don't know. About six people watched, I think. Maybe six people. And we did it. We started it. And here we are 3 years later. Really, it's really pretty remarkable. And I can't thank Jared enough for bringing me into the 21st century. And I can't thank, look at Dale Socia. And I just look down the list of guys that are in here. I just appreciate all of you being there with me in this free flow of ideas and information that we're putting out there. And I thank God for that he doesn't despise not the days of small beginnings. He told us not to despise small beginnings. Like I said, maybe I'm still small. We're still small. I suppose we're still small, but I sense we're having great impact since we are. And just don't ever forget where you came from. Jared, you can pull that off there. Anybody have something to say? Because I got a lot to say today. Somebody come on in.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate you.
Hey, man, thanks, Dale. Thanks.
Coach, that was amazing. Yeah, seeing you start out, I mean, none of us really know everything you've done other than what you've told us. So to see, was that Mike Heath?
That's Mike Heath. Yep.
Who knew? Jared was still in the Marines or what?
No. And a week later, Mike handed me off to Jared. I really think Jared needed some money. I'm just guessing. So Mike handed me off to Jared because none of us knew what it was going to be, right? And Jared Heath has not missed one program.
Isn't it amazing?
See, listen, folks. Some of us, the job of something. Oh, you better. Thank you, Lord. Here's the greatest mistake we make. Thank you, Lord. My job is to promote other brothers. That's my job. My job is not to promote me. We will be amazed how far we will get and how effective the body of Christ will be if we quit worrying about ourselves and strive to elevate others. Jared elevated me. Yeah, I was paying. He was doing it for money. But he put his heart into elevating. He created a good background. He went out, bought some more equipment. He did everything to try to upgrade. And I don't know if you know this. Hey, Jared, how many programs are you producing?
Seven
programs. Seven programs. Why? Because when Jared was trying to build a business, maybe, but he was helping me. He said, I'm going to help you. Got to do this, Coach. We got to do this. And here we are. And we do not advance the ball because it's always about our own agenda. And I do every day, try not to make it about me and my agenda. And so whatever you are, whatever you're doing, get started, man. Get started. Get started. Time's running out. I don't want you to all come in there and tell me what a great guy I am and how much I changed your life. I know that. I know we've changed lives here. But why have I changed lives here? Because of Jared, because of Larry, because of JR, because of Dale Socia, because of Mark Trump, because of George, because why? A platform for people to offer advice and information. So we've done this together. Yeah, I'm the guy. It's Coach Dave Live. We're playing as the team.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Can you, I handed it off. This is Mike. I handed it off because Jared's telling me to do something different. So there we go. I'm on my phone. I'm actually watching over Jared's shoulder because after you're right. He showed up every day for 3 years. His business has started to a foundation is forming at the bottom of his business. Thanks in largest part to you. I handed it off. Because he was starting a business after getting out of the Marine Corps. But more importantly, what I noticed is his young mind, he was 27 at the time. He could, I was overwhelmed, Coach. When I started that show, it was fun to watch the beginning and all those technical snafus. But that was just the beginning of the snafus. The back end of producing these shows is intense. It's very technical. And Jared was able to jump in and run with it and figure it all out and develop those graphics. And now we're helping other ministries do the same thing. And we're doing a lot of praying. Most of what we're doing is on faith. You know, he's keeping track of his time and stuff, but there's that we're helping Christian ministries to do to have an impact, we hope, greater than the one you're having. But you're having an awesome impact, and I'm so grateful to you for in blazing this path into the new media for ministries who want to develop an interactive approach, and you're leading the way. I tell all of our clients, I tell them, you need to watch the coach. You need to study how he does it. And I just wanted to mention at the last that it's really fascinating to me that 2 weeks ago today, we started Pete LaBarbera Live. We started Americans for Truth Live. He's been doing it for 30 years. He's forgotten more about the whole big gay thing than any of us are ever going to learn in the rest of our lives. And he started his show, 30 minutes, at noon Central Time. He started his show last Monday, and he's shown up every day for 30 minutes, and we're getting ready to roll out the sort of huddle interactive kind of approach, which he's never done before, but he's excited about learning, and I'm saying, go watch the coach. So, coach, keep it up. God bless you.
Amen. Thanks, Mike. Yeah, and listen, and folks, you can't be me. Huh. You can't be me. Don't be me. Mike Spaulding's doing a show. Don't be me, Mike. Be you. You are. David Arthur, don't be me. You're not me. Quit trying to be me. Be you. Be you. David Heavener, be you. Don't be me. Right? Right? Let's quit emulating. Let's quit worrying about, folks, it doesn't matter what you bring to the table. If you come over for the smorgasbord, so you just bring a little piece of pie. That's all right. Bring what you have. Quit worrying about how many are watching and who you're going to affect. Yes, Larry.
Just let me say, as a result of this show, first of all, somebody from one of the organizations that I was involved with a day or two after you started told me to start up. So I came in day two or three, something like that. But as a result of the show, I have found out that in many organizations around the country, it is members of Salt and Light, Past the Salt, that are instrumental and getting them started and keeping them going, because your format, your program, your whatever it is the Holy Spirit has been able to develop with your show has used those attracted to your format or your agenda to start other agendas. And it's amazing how many of them are Past the Salt folks involved with them.
Amen. And not only that, Larry, I made you a star. You and George and his crappy phone.
You a star, Larry.
You guys get what I'm saying? You don't even realize it. Everywhere I go, you go. And when we go to Oskaloosa, you're going to walk in the room and say, hey, there's Larry. Hey, there's Mark. Hey, you're going to see people who you've seen on this show, never seen face to face. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Mike Spaulding just said, yep, stay in your lane, man. Stay in your lane. Do your thing, but stay in your lane. Listen, I'm serious this morning, okay? Can I get serious for a minute? I heard somebody try to come in there. It sounded like, go ahead.
I just wanted to throw 2 cents in there right quick. By being involved in your show, it kind of pulled me out of my shell. I have a radio show on a local conservative talk radio station, and it has to do with my business, which is real estate, but I actually throw politics and I throw religion out there. And at any particular time, there's between 12 and 20,000 people listening to me on Saturday morning. And I have not got anybody call up and say, that guy's an idiot or that guy's crazy or anything like that. I've gotten more accolades than any, I have not gotten one single negative remark about my show. So
then you must be too soft. Isaiah 58, Jared. I get gripes, complaints all the time. Huh? I hope they hate me. I hope the left hates me. I hope those who want to murder babies, I hope they hate me. Those who want to teach homosex to our children, I hope they hate me. Cry aloud. Folks, listen. Judgment is right now at the door of the church. Now, we watch what's going on in New York, and I've been following stuff on Facebook, what people are saying about the fact that you now can abort a baby up to the moment of birth in New York. And I've seen memes, oh, my goodness, judgment's coming on New York. Judgment's coming on New York. You better get out of New York. God's going to cast down fire on New York. Well, that may be true, but I suggest you pick up your Bible and you better read something. Because the judgment that I'm worried about is the judgment upon God's people. What happens to New York and Andrew Cuomo is going to happen to Cuomo. Whatever happens to Pelosi is going to happen to Pelosi. Whatever happens to you name it, it's going to happen to them. But I'm going to tell you something. You better read the Bible and you better understand that the Lord today is speaking to you and to me. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people, not Cuomo, not Hillary, show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Now, folks, from this point on, Isaiah is speaking to the church. They seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. This ain't the Donald Trump. Forsook not the ordinance of God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. The church thinks that we can just approach God because he is so pleased with us. We don't even have enough shame to come humbly before the Lord. Why have you fasted, say they? And you don't see, they're saying to the Lord, Lord, we've been fasting and praying. We've been doing the march to Washington, D.C. Why haven't you noticed it? You've afflicted our soul. And you haven't even taken knowledge of it. You haven't even acted like you saw all these things we were doing. The Lord said, Lord says, behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure. And you exact all your labors. You think you're going to get in good favor with me by not eating and praying and marching? But buddy, verse 4, you fast with strife and debate, to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day. You think I'm going to hear that? That stuff, that phony stuff you're doing now, you think that's going to move me, he says. He said, hey, boys, how about the fast that I chose? How about this one, boys? Hey, not Cuomo, not Hillary, not even Trump. Just the fast I've chosen. Day for a man to afflict his soul, to bow down his head as a bulrush, spread sackcloth and ashes under him. Well, you call that a fast? You think that's acceptable to me? Your phony outward fasting? Are you kidding me? No, no. He says, this is the fast that I've chosen. To loose the bands of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. Those little born babies are oppressed. He says, is it not? How did that happen to me? Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry? Isn't that the fast that I've called? To bring the poor that are cast out to your house? When you see the naked, you cover him. When you see the unborn, you go protect him. And that you hide not yourself from your own flesh. Then you start doing that kind of stuff. Then your light's going to break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your reward. Then shall you call. And the Lord will answer. When? When you start putting into action what you're supposed to be doing. Quit doing these phony prayers and phony fasting and not putting any action behind it. You shall cry and he shall say, here I am. That's if you do the fast that he calls. To take away from the midst of you the yoke, the putting off of the finger, speaking vanity. If you draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall the light rise in obscurity and darkness be as the noonday. The Lord shall guide you continually, satisfy your soul in drought, make fat your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Not sit around and wait for the rapture. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And you, my friend, shall be called what, Mark? The repairer of the breach. The restorer of the paths to dwell in. And if you turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing the pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, and not do thine own ways, nor find thine own pleasure, nor speaking thy own words, then shall thy delight themselves in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. There it is, boys. See, judgment's coming on church. Hate to tell you that. They're killing babies in New York with your approval. The judgment's coming on you. Oh, New York's going to get their they're going to get their fill up too. But judgment's coming on the church. I believe this to be an opportunity like we've never seen. Now let me I hear somebody trying to get in here. Hey, Michelle. Yeah, hang on a minute. Michelle, if you can, bring down my computer plug. My computer's about to shut off. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, take what you just read, and let's look at Hebrews chapter 5, chapter 11 real quick, the first couple of verses, or first verse. It doesn't say faith is things hoped for and things not seen. It says faith is the substance and evidence. You know, if you had faith in a mustard seed, you could move a mountain. Well, if you had faith of a mustard seed, you'd grab a shovel and start moving it.
Amen. Lord Larry, how about this? I'm about ready to puke. I get on Facebook and I watch the reactions of Christians on Facebook. And oh, they're all upset. Oh, no, they're killing babies up to the moment of birth. Well, they've been killing babies for 46 years. And what's our response? Oh, let's do a boycott. Now, that's it. Let's do a boycott. Hey, listen. If they were getting ready to murder your grandbaby, you going to do a boycott, a march? You going to go march? It's judgment day for the church. I'm convinced of it. Michelle, bring that cord down, please. She didn't hear me. I heard she's doing it. She's getting it. While she's doing that, boys, I want you to watch something. This blew me away. Hey, Jared, I'm sorry. I know it's Flea Flicker Friday. I know. I just got to show you this. The Hagman's post. Somebody sent this to me. Thanks, sweetie. Thanks, honey. Whoop. Bear with me a second. I got to plug this in or I'm going to lose my power while I'm talking here. Well, wait a minute. I'll talk and then I'll do it. Somebody sent this to me today. This is 6 minutes old. This is on six minutes long. This was from back 2016, just before the election. The Hagmans turned this into a six-minute segment. And you tell me, boys and girls, is this prophetic or not? Are you ready? Go ahead and play it, Jared.
Well, good morning, folks. Coach Dave coming to you here Saturday morning. Something's been pressed upon my heart to share with you today. This is a 15-week-old baby, aborted baby. Look at that. Look at the face. Look at the hands. Look at the arms. Friends, this is a one-issue election.
Well, let's pick up on another issue which divides you and the justices that whoever ends up winning this election appoints could have a dramatic effect there, and that's the issue of abortion.
Right.
Mr. Trump, you're pro-life.
I'm going to say that again. This is a one-issue election. It's not about the economy. It's not about ISIS. It's not about gay marriage. It's not about any of that stuff. It's about whether or not we will end the slaughter of unborn children. Now, I'm reading from the scripture. It tells us in Deuteronomy verse 13, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed might live. Now, Donald Trump stood before the world the other day, and he said things I'd never heard anybody ever say about abortion.
Mr. Trump, your reaction, and particularly on this issue of late-term partial birth
abortion. Well, I think it's terrible. If you go with what Hillary is saying, in the ninth month, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb of the mother just prior to the birth of the baby. Now, you can say that that's okay, and Hillary can say that that's okay, but it's not okay with me.
He said it was ripping the baby out of the mother's womb. He said it was, we had to stop the slaughter of the children. He said it would end abortion. And then I hear my friends out there who are saying, well, I can't vote for him because he used dirty words, or he's not really a Christian, or he's a fake. Look at this, folks. This is a one-issue election.
I strongly support Roe v. Wade.
Do you want to see the court overturn? You just said you want to see the court protect the Second Amendment. Do you want to see the court overturn Roe
v.
Wade?
Well, if we put another two or perhaps three justices on, that's really what's going to be, that's will happen. And that'll happen automatically, in my opinion, because I am putting pro-life justices on the court.
Look at this, folks. This is a one-issue election.
I strongly support Roe v. Wade.
If we put another two or perhaps three justices on, that's really what's going to be, that's will happen. And that'll happen automatically, in my opinion, because I am putting pro-life justices on the court.
And we know that the word just said, I set life and death before you. Life and death is before us today.
I strongly support Roe v. Wade.
I am putting pro-life justices on the court.
Will the church rise up and say no to death? Or will we put Hillary Clinton, the princess of death, the queen of death, back into office?
I strongly support Roe v. Wade.
Folks, shake your eyes. This isn't about anything else. It's not about Trump's morality. It's not about Hillary Clinton. It's not about any of that. It's about life and death and 40 plus years of slaughtering unborn children.
Mr. Trump, your reaction, and particularly on this issue of late-term partial birth.
Well, I think it's terrible. If you go with what Hillary is saying, in the ninth month, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb of the mother just prior to the birth of the baby. Now, you can say that that's okay, and Hillary can say that that's okay, but it's not okay with me.
But I want to ask you specifically, do you want the court, including the justices that you will name, to overturn Roe v. Wade, which includes, in fact, states, a woman's right to abortion?
Well, if that would happen, because I am pro-life, and I will be appointing pro-life judges.
The Lord said through the heavens the other night, here's your choice. Donald Trump, who said he will put pro-life justices in, or Hillary Clinton, who will kill every baby that she gets the opportunity today.
Based on what she's saying and based on where she's going and where she's been, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb in the ninth month on the final day. And that's not acceptable.
I said before you this day, life and death. Choose life.
And honestly, nobody has business doing what I just said, doing that as late as one or two or three or 4 days prior to birth. Nobody has that.
This is the only issue that matters. Let's end abortion. Let's do it now. In Jesus' name.
I think it's terrible. If you go with what Hillary is saying, in the ninth month, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb of the mother just prior to the birth of the baby. Now, you can say that that's okay, and Hillary can say that that's okay, but it's not okay with me. You can say that that's okay, And Hillary can say that that's okay, but it's not okay with me.
This is the only issue that matters. Let's end abortion. Let's do it now. In Jesus' name.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
And Christian still will not get on board behind one who said, I'm going to stop the killing, and one who wants to kill them to the moment of birth. And what do we have today in New York? 2.5 years later from the day that video was made? Hey, boys, judgment's coming to the church. Judgment's coming to the church.
It has to. It has to.
Coach, I'll say it as I said yesterday. America is like the Titanic, and the church is up on the deck praising and singing their songs. Yep. And we have been gashed open, and we're sinking.
And Lord said he's not even looking at it.
Amen.
Listen, can I tell you the truth? Do you have any idea what I would do if they were trying to kill my grandmother? Do you have any idea what I would do if they were trying to kill my grandmother? Yet,
I know what I'd do, Coach.
Yet, they're killing other people's grandbabies every day. And the church is powerless to do anything about it. Now, they're not powerless, but they love themselves too much. The anti-church is lawless. And the church won't rise up and demand the law be obeyed. The church retreats, talks about personal things, about depression and how to have a better marriage and how to have better finance. And the Lord is sitting back and he said, I can't even look at this. That stuff makes me sick. I can't even look at it. Anybody think I'm wrong today? I know it's my birthday. I know it's my 3-year birthday. I know it's Friday. I know it's Flea Flicker Friday. Judgment's coming to the church. Judgment is at our door. God help us, man. God help us. Jared. Play Bullies. Somebody sent me this morning. Go ahead. Does even New York all diehard leftist? The atheist ought to be pissed. Atheists ought to stand up for life. You have to be a Christian to think a baby ought to live. And our hypocrisy in the church. Are you kidding me? Phonies. Lord isn't even looking at us. Making me sick. I want to puke, he said. Go ahead, Jared, play that.
That will strengthen abortion rights. The governor tweeted the Reproductive Health Care Act will protect Roe v. Wade regardless of what the federal government does. He called it a victory for all New Yorkers.
Yeah. Do you want to accurately measure the character and moral integrity of an individual? Then watch how that individual treats those with far less power than himself. Does a person abuse a child? Does a man beat his wife? Does your neighbor torture animals? Do people condone and applaud the snuffing out of a tiny, frail, innocent human life? How they treat people less powerful than themselves tells you everything you need to know about that person. Now, guys, I plan to do an entirely different video, but when I saw this story, I couldn't help but say something. Our nation is filled with the most evil, conscience-seared people who have the sinister audacity to literally murder another individual in what should be the safest place in the world, a mother's womb. Guys, liberty is for all or it's for nobody. In this tweet, Planned Parenthood Action says, "This is huge. New York Governor Cuomo just signed the Reproductive Health Act into law, a big win towards securing safe, legal abortion and access to contraception for all. Can't wait to see other states follow New York's lead to protect our health and rights. How about the health and rights of that little helpless baby, you morons? Reproductive Health Act? Just like every other law, it's named the exact opposite of what it ends up doing. This is the Unproductive Death Act. In the tweet, we have a picture of a smiling Governor Andrew Cuomo signing this Reproductive Health Act, with others looking on and smiling. Yay, we get to end the lives of full-grown babies now. What a bunch of psychopaths. New York's new law, signed on the 46th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, allows barbaric and inhumane abortions up until the day of birth. And if it didn't seem like murder to you before because you could explain it away and soothe your conscience by calling this individual a clump of cells, surely you can see it for what it is now. Wholesale, calculated murder. The murder of an innocent, fully grown baby. Legalizing early stage abortion is infanticide all by itself, but this should make it crystal clear in the minds of anybody who has half a heart left. Convicted criminals aren't even subjected to the death penalty in New York State. But now innocent children up until the ninth month of pregnancy can be given lethal injections and poisoned to death? Sustaining and housing the guilty and slaughtering the innocent. That pretty much sums up the statist cult known as government. They'll raise a ruckus and go on tirades about the number of kids supposedly dying in school shootings and want to take your guns away as a result. And we're going to sit here and let them murder 125,000 babies every single day in America, and nobody's going to lock these psychopaths up?
New at 11, Governor Cuomo signing into law one of the nation's strongest protections for abortion rights.
This after the Democratic-held Senate and Assembly passed the bill on this, the 46th anniversary of Roe versus Wade. The governor holding a signing ceremony earlier tonight in Albany.
One thing that this law reveals to the nation is the extent and the extremism of the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision, which allows laws like this one to exist. And people wonder why I'm against government. You gotta be kidding me. New York's new abortion law also permits non-physicians to administer abortion-inducing drugs and moves the abortion law from the state's penal code to its health code. New York's Right to Life has warned that the new law would remove criminal penalties for acts of violence against a pregnant mother and her child.
And do a constitutional amendment so no governor, no legislator, no political swing can ever jeopardize a woman's right to control her own body in this state.
Ever notice the grave irony that everybody who's for abortion has already been born? These same people will call for a lifetime prison sentence if you so much as crack the egg of a spotted owl or a bald eagle, but you can destroy the peaceful home of a human being as you destroy the baby human in that home, and you're seen as a strong, courageous, and noble woman. These people will pretend to care about immigrant children at the border, but will kill American children in the womb. Washington is a cesspool of the most evil villains you can imagine. And it's about time we all stand up, stand together, and say enough is enough. Guys, when I talk to pro-abortion protesters, I ask them when they were born. When they tell me, say, August of 1983, I ask them, what month does that make that you were conceived? After they think about it for a minute, count back 9 months and tell me January 1983, I say, oh, that was you conceived in that womb. That was you, the person that was in there. Not a clump of cells, not a floating glob of tissue. It was you who were conceived in January of 1983. Well, I have a message for you. If I was standing right here in this spot like I'm talking to you now in January of 1983, on the very month you were conceived, I'd be standing here talking to somebody else about how it's important and moral to fight for your right to live. Guys, please share this video with everybody you know. If you get something out of my content...
What is it, man? What is up with us?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I got a little section of scripture that should cause the fear of the Lord to rise into us, the church. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 32, starting with verse 33. Understanding this, that God is all-knowing, he's omnipotent, he's all-present, he's almighty. There's nothing that's happening that God does not see. There's nothing that God does not know.
God knows how to bring pestilence. God knows how to bring a sword. God knows how to raise a kingdom and bring a kingdom down. But this is the only time in the entire scripture that you're going to hear these words of what the Lord says. Starting with verse 33, it says, "They've turned their back to me, not their face." That's us.
Oh, and man. Facepalm, right, Dale? Facepalm.
Yep.
Turned their back to the Lord. Wouldn't
teaching
look at
them again. They would not listen to my instruction, but they have put their detestable things in the house which I've called by my name to defile it. They built their high places of Baal. They're in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, Caesarea Philippi, to cause their sons and daughters to pass through the fire to Molech, child sacrifice, this of which I have not commanded them, nor, here it is, has it ever entered my mind. When we go to stoop of killing and offering our children in sacrifices, God says this is so wicked, so detestable, and so sick. He goes, it's never even entered my mind. That's how wicked it is.
And now, therefore, thus saith the Lord, of the God of Israel, concerning this city, us shall be delivered into the hands of the king of Babylon by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. He's talking to the church. Yeah, that's unbelievably powerful. Why don't we act like it's murder? Why don't we act like it's murder?
Because we're preaching from our pulpit. This is the church that God himself could not sink.
Hey, while we're on scriptures, let's go to Isaiah 59, which, by the way, was just after Isaiah 58, which I opened with, where he said that he wouldn't look at, right? And remember, in the Bible, there aren't chapters. Chapters are man-made, right? So he just talked about the judgment of the church, and then he goes to the next, not chapter, next paragraph. Behold, Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, and neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins, speaking to the church, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Why? Because your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None call for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice spiders' eggs and weave the spider's web. And he that eateth of their lies, their eggs die. And that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Who's he talking about? Church folk! Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. In other words, we have the powers in our hands. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. And their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting, and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they don't know. He's talking about his church people! Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like blind. We grope. Oh, my goodness. Down, Jared. And we grope as if we had no eyes. Like we can't even see. We stumble at noonday as in the day, night. And we are in desolate places as dead men. I see dead people. We all roar like bears and complain and moan and groan and beg for God to do this. We look for judgment, but there's none, for salvation, but it's far from us. Why? For our transgressions are multiplied before the Lord, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. As for our iniquities, we know it's a baby. but in transgressing and lying against the Lord, departing away from our God, speaking of oppression and revolt, and conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned backward, away backward, and justice standeth up far off in the street. For truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yes, truth has failed, and he that departeth from evil make himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, that there was no judgment. Judge not, boys. Come on in.
Life begins at conception, brother.
And no, it doesn't, Denny. We don't believe that.
I believe it. I know you believe it, brother.
No, Vinny, because if I believed it, I'd be doing something about it.
You are doing something about it, brother.
I wouldn't be marching. I wouldn't just be marching. I'd be doing something about
You're right, Kurt. Here's a scary analogy. I saw this, and we saw this during the Bush and then the Obama era. Surgical abortion is once again back on the rise. Surgical abortion was at its least during the Obama legacy since 1973. Why is that? Because we put our politician in place and all of a sudden we don't want to do nothing. But when we realize and we got a man like Barack Obama, we actually got to get out and do something because he's not our savior.
Mm. Trump's our man.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
When does life begin again, Denny?
Coach.
Not whenever you're born or conceived, but God knew before we were in the womb. Our spirits were been awaiting our bodies.
Amen.
Is that true?
It's true. Yes, absolutely. It's true. Yes. Yes. Yes.
All these babies' spirits, God knew before they were in the womb. Think about it. I mean, we didn't give them a chance for a body. We didn't give them a chance. Just amazes me, Coach.
It amazes me too. And still on. And we have, can I tell you something? We have no strategy. The church, more than anything, is worried about appearing Christian to the world. That's what we're worried about. I'm going to tell you something. It reminds me of that line from, I wish I had that earlier, Lord, from To Kill a Mockingbird. Oh, you're yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, and all that comes to nothing. You're acting like Christians. Phony Jesus loved you. Jesus loved you, brother. I'm not going to argue with it. Jesus, come to Jesus. And they're killing freaking babies. And people are looking at us and saying, what is wrong with those people?
And then they're letting men put their yin yang up another yin yang.
What's wrong with those people? Don't they even believe what they claim to believe? I'm hitting it today, boys. I'm hitting it today.
You mean, Coach?
You posted in one of your memes yesterday, Coach, and is absolutely spot on. How is it that if we find some organism on Mars and it's alive, we call that life, yet in the womb, we don't?
Amen. Damn, we won't even protect a snail dodger or whatever that fish was called. Oh my goodness!
They call it life. I think that argument has been diminished. They call it life. They have the right to kill it.
Roger, the mask is off, brother. Remember, they always worried about. Say, listen, if Roe versus Wade is overturned, there'll be back alley abortions. Women will be chopped up. You know, the new law in New York says you don't even have to be a doctor to kill a baby. They legalize back alley abortions. Not about women. Hey, Mark Trump, it's about the stuff we talked about yesterday. The seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, baby. It's what it's about. It's never changed. The Lord told us about it. Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman, enmity, his seed and her seed. You're going to crush his head, bruise his heel. There it is, over and 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 over. And all the church wants to get people saved. That's all we want to do is get people saved.
Hey, Coach, a little analogy. Well, you got ore. You got iron ore, right? It's got to be dug out of the ground. What do they do with it? They turn it into things we can use, right?
Yes, sir.
That's called a raw material. You know what women are? They get pregnant. They're a mine. And then the doctors go in and they mine the ore, coach. And then what do they do with the ore? What do they do with it, coach? They make stuff out. Babies are a raw material.
Yeah, property.
And I bet you if we stopped here in the U.S., we'd order the raw material in from China. From China, just like Donald Trump says. But these things are atrocities. And you know, we talked about the bald eagles last night getting protected and the baby's not. And it's just so many instances of that where we elevate inanimate objects above. We elevate memorials we protect. We fine people for trespassing and vandalism. Vandalism, coach. Look what they're doing to babies. You mark up a building, you get a fine.
That's because Romans chapter 1 says not only did they not glorify God, but they glorified the creation and the creatures rather than the creator. Thus, God turned them over to a reprobate mind. And to us, the church, coach, Revelation chapter 12, at the very ending, that seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, Satan has come to wage war against those who hold to the commandments of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ. So, church, if you want to go hide in your hole, you can. But Satan's coming to do battle with you, whether you like it or not.
Revelation 12, Jared. Revelation 12. I'm with you, Dale. I'm with you. Well, let's march. Let's make plans for our 47th annual march to Washington. Let's do that. And then let's make sure that we focus on the smirk on some white boy's face. Let's make sure we focus on that. Let's bait and switch. Let's distract. Can I tell you the problem, Christian friends? And you take this for whatever you want to. And I hope the FBI's watching. And I hope the CIA's watching. And I hope Kyle Manta, whatever that guy's name is, a right wing watch. I hope they're all watching. Because I believe it's murder. I believe it's murder. I'm going to say it again. I believe it's murder. And I heard a loud voice in verse 10. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, and which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Shall I read the next line? And they love not their lives unto the death. You know why abortion's legal in America? We love our lives. We love ourselves too much. There's your answer. The 6-foot icicle standing in churches, they love themselves too much. They don't want to make anybody mad. They don't want to make the church mad. They certainly don't want to make the devil mad. And by the way, boy, they don't want to make the government mad. And they didn't overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. And they didn't overcome him by the word of the testimony, for they loved their lives too much. Those three are connected, my friends.
Mic drop.
The blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony ain't any good if you love yourself too much to talk about. That's where we are.
And coach, the church has used the strategy of politics. This is like David when Saul stuck his armor on him. David looked at that and says, I can't wear these things. See, that's going out in the armor of politics. He says, I got to go out. And he went out with a sling and stones. That, and so when we come up with the ideas of what God would want us to do, we're called nuts and crazy, just like David was by his own brothers. But which one brought down Goliath? Was it Saul's armor and Saul's strategy? No, it was the strategy of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And Dale, it was more than just prayer.
It was more than just prayer. See, if I believe, Lowell, that I'm going to stand before the Lord and I'm going to give an account for what I did and what I didn't. I believe it. And you can wiggle your way out of it, folks, all you want to. But I'm going to tell you, marching ain't getting it done. it ain't getting it done. Judgment is at the door, the church. God bless you. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.